This tape may not be reproduced in any form without express written permission from Nationwide Distribution Corporation. This is the world broadcast of Imam Warrant Dean Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. And now, Imam Warrant Dean Muhammad.
I hope God bless us with guidance and understanding. I hope he bless me to be able to express my thoughts clearly to you. And I hope he bless you to receive my thoughts in the proper way. I don't intend any mockery. I don't intend any destructive criticism. So if you might hear that or feel that, please know that I don't intend that. Everything that I do and say is for the sake of improving upon us and not merely criticizing.
The speaker has a lot to say, and I think it's very important in a day and time like this that we bring someone to this campus that can practice what they teach. All right, the San Jose State University, in commemoration of African or Black History Month, we'd like to present to you Wallace D. Muhammad.
To all of you here at San Jose, especially to the Student Association of Students here, to Charles Buer, Elizabeth, and all those who have worked hard to get an invitation for us, we thank you and we greet you with our greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. I've chosen to speak on racial images today. It is a topic that has been a real concern for us in the American Muslim Mission. And I think it's our concern that we have perhaps has something to do with our past history. As many of you probably know, we evolved from what was called the lost foundation of Islam in America, North America, better known as Black Muslims. We, as members of that body called the Lost Foundation of Islam in America, and we were trying to establish our own identity, and we believed that the way we imaged ourselves, and especially the way we imaged the white man, was much a part of the whole problem of the race. And now we feel that not only a part of the whole problem of race, but we feel with many of our educated African Americans, Bilalians as we call ourselves, and non-Bilalians, that it is part of the whole problem for race, for races in America. It is not only a black problem, it is also a white problem. It seems that when we try to see clearly for ourselves, there comes into play a tendency to discredit the other people. And we ourselves have been terribly discredited in history. And this is no news, we all know this. North Africa is usually left out of black continent reference. I have a book called African Mythology by Mr. Parringer, and it seems that he has used a paring knife to take all the core out of the history of information and leave us with just a shell of something that he calls African mythology. Our ancestors left a great religious legacy. Egyptian mythology shouldn't be separated from the history of the African people. The author shouldn't refer to African mythology without also referring to ancient Egypt and that mythology. It is said that the ancient Greeks, got most of their ideas, concepts of man's identity, his relationship with himself and the world, external world, from the mythology of ancient Egypt. Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, Great Issues of a Race from 4,500 B.C. to 2000 A.D. is a book that speaks the matter quite differently, as well as a book by Basil Davidson, The African Past. And it's a book that really interests me because this author included much of the Islamic history and background. The book called African Intelligentsia by A.S. Torrey, who is African himself. Another book, Stolen Legacy by George E.M. James. All of these books, they tie the black history in with the ancient Egyptian history. Except for these books and others that treat the matter in that way, it seems that there's a design to keep blacks of the world thinking inferior, seeing themselves in an inferior light. It's nothing except the fact that after centuries of enslavement here in America, centuries of being denied the identity of a human being, the full identity of a human being, centuries of being subjected to the worst kinds of conditions that would drive a human being to bestiality, centuries of that, and today we stand in America, many of us stand with the dignity that the greatest man on earth stands with. We don't stand with our heads hung down. Our spirits are still strong. We are still determined to win respect for self and to win respect from the white race and from other races or other people on this earth. And that strong spirit that has survived the ugly and brutal past is evidence in itself that we are equal to any people on this earth. So I come to a campus where they tell me there's strong racial sentiment. Well, I don't know. But if so, then maybe what I'm saying will not just be accepted as a speech or talk, but maybe it will be accepted as light for understanding and for healing our wounds. Ahmad Baba reports being robbed, his person was robbed, and also his library was robbed. And who robbed it? Europeans. They took 1,600 volumes on the sciences from their renowned library in Timbuktu. This was in 1495, and I believe that was around the time when America was discovered. If we didn't have any past worth remembering, why would the Europeans steal all those books from the Africans? So I don't know what's his name, Mr. Shockbutt. No, what's his name? This racist. Shockley? Shockley, yes. I don't know what he's thinking about. I don't know what stays on his mind. I don't know what world he's living in. Franz Boas, another author who's realistic, who understands that superiority complexes in one race over another race is a serious problem, not only for the other race, but for the race that harbors those feelings. He demonstrates in his book, Race and the Democratic Society, that the African people didn't only achieve high development and culture and ethics, but they also were smelters of iron. They made iron and were very good at iron making before the Western world came to became iron makers. They also were great craftsmen. They were able businessmen. They had great commerce, and they had just government. Asiya Muhammad, called Asiya the Great also, I believe. He received reports that there were acts of injustice and indecency, and people were going back from their religion and introducing things that were degrading for them as human beings. And Asiya the Great, he took charge of the matter and sent out people to inquire and learn the facts. And when he gathered all the facts, he got his associates together in the government, and they began to treat these problems. And in treating the problems, he brought very just order, brought in a very just order, and made theft punishable, and all crimes and indecent offensive display in public life, he made them all punishable by law. And Asiya Muhammad We shouldn't have to say he was a Muslim. The point is not that he was a Muslim. The point is that why not say he's a Muslim if he's a Muslim? And I find that black history has been taught in most of the campuses, on most of the campuses where black students are, and I find most of those students unaware of the grave role of our religion in the rise of culture and civilization on the continent of Africa. Now, I'm sure we're not responsible for that. Others are responsible for that. To understand racism, what those concerns are, where they come from, where they stem from, I'm making an attempt to note certain areas or certain fields of influence and hope that the understanding will come clear. One is history. Then another is the social life. Robert H. Brisbane, writing for the Black American Reference book, a large book of many chapters, his work comes under chapter 16 of that book. He quotes the British historian Arnold J. Toynbee, and I quote him. Toynbee put forth an interesting and workable designation for such national ethnic minorities as the black Americans. He dubbed them, quote, internal proletariat, which he defined as any social element or group which in some way is in, but not of any given society at any given period of that society's history. Now, we know that we have felt excluded. As a child, perhaps the greatest weight on our spirit as a people was that burden of feeling that we were excluded. And the movement of the African-American people's spirit in the history of America has been to get rid of that burden of exclusion, being excluded. We have wanted to be included. We have to be included. So the terminology mainstream has come to identify the aim of our spirit, a desire to come into the mainstream. what has it done to us? That's what we want to understand. What has it done to us? The book, Common Sense About Race, by Philip Mason. I'm quoting from it now. Man may be involved in exhausting toil to keep body and soul together, but as soon as he is released, even the slightest degree from breadwinning, he turns to this conflict and its resolution. Indeed, there may be no turning away, and breadwinning may become the means of proving his manhood to himself. I have mentioned this to further explain the burden, the great burden, on people that are excluded from the main life of the society in which they live, and deprived of a comparable identity or a comparable grasp or perception of self. I don't think in the history of the African American that we have ever come to a comparable identity, and that's a serious problem. We haven't come to a comparable perception of self. It's not merely the problem of being poor, or being culturally deprived, or being even called inferior by white supremacists. That's not also the problem. There's a need to understand self. There's a need to identify self. And to get some understanding of where self should go, what self should do, what self should be about, where self should go. Philip Mason further says, the attempt to identify self with an idea starts early and need take no loftier form than wearing a cowboy shirt or face helmet. It may lead to extremes of asceticism, such as standing on a pillar in the desert, or to competition in criminal beastliness. I end the quote. That's the end of the quote. These symptoms that are identified here are symptoms that are not only now problems for the African American, but they are problems for the masses of America. How come? Because the masses of America now have gotten away from touch with self. Influences of top life, the reach for a high lifestyle, all of these adverse spirits that are affecting our lives today are giving our human form to one-one-one-ness. So I'm glad to know that this religion allows me to be a brother with everybody, regardless of their color. I'm glad to know that, because it would be foolish for a person in this day and age, in America, to try to treat human problems without addressing human beings, humanity at large. It is not because we have some kind of peculiar nature or some kind of peculiar organism in us that we have been the victim of white racism, the victim of pop culture, the victims of an artificial world and an artificial life. No, it's not because there's anything peculiar about us. The proof is now people are entering the same situation, and they are not black. They are white, they are brown, they are all the colors. I remember the time when a white man would be ashamed to conduct himself in a disrespectful way, especially around black. Now, maybe he did anything at home, but when he was around black, he tried to hold his head up, he tried to show that he was civilized and decent. Except for when he got drunk, they had their bad days too sometimes. But now, you know, it looks like everybody's trying to prove that they have a dimension of insanity that should be revealed. And they're just trying to show each other just how crazy they can be. There's something that's seriously wrong. is necessary for man to feel a part, to feel it.